I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it is coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Now, I vowed to have only fun on this show and avoid COVID-related conversations and the dread and despair and even some of the serious conversations that we have on the air here, which I appreciate and I love getting all of your perspective. But we all need a little bit of a break, right? So that's been my goal today, and that led to talking about how the NBA feels like the best thing in the world at the moment, because you can just focus on the ball. You're not worried about any of that other stuff. And then that morphed into a LeBron-Brady conversation because I saw LeBron was playing as the Buccaneers in a Madden tournament the Lakers were having, so I went with a cheap sports talk trick of just comparing them, which led to, of course, the greatest hit of sports radio. On the Sports Talk Radio Greatest Hits album, LeBron versus Jordan is the money cut. There's no question. Enrique Barrera tweets in, "I can't stand the Jordan-LeBron debate. It's stupid. There's no way to prove who the real GOAT is." Yeah, but that's part of the fun. I mean, isn't that like, if you were saying what is the origin of sports talk, it's basically one guy saying this guy's better than another and then arguing about it. And then I started talking about the best wrestler in history because I've gotten into really pro wrestling with my son. Over this pandemic, we've been trapped inside, so we needed something to focus on, and we watched all these old matches. And then I saw this Marty Jannetty thing. Google it if you didn't see it this week, which, of course, brings Shawn Michaels to mind. And to me, in my mind, Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler, or at least the best wrestler of all time. Brando Commando tweets in, "Bret the Hitman Hart is the best of all time." And one guy who people haven't mentioned, who we should give credit to, and I know like big-time wrestling fans don't like to give him credit necessarily, but I think you gotta say John Cena belongs in this conversation as well. John Cena, you know, after Stone Cold and The Rock, sort of took that mantle and has run with it for a really long time. Matt Abstract said, "I'd go Stone Cold, Flair, The Rock, Hogan, HBK." I'll get a few more on that, and then I have to break my rule that I set just to quickly talk about something Deion Sanders said on Twitter that is trending right now at the moment. Mike in Georgia. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, which is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, man. I've been hearing what you've been talking about this morning, and my brother introduced me to pro wrestling when I was very young in the 80s, and so I started out with in NWA glory days with Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, the Road Warriors, Magnum TA, the Four Horsemen. I mean, so, and Ric Flair run that place. He absolutely run that place, and he did it for the longevity of his career. It's still hard for me to say that anybody is better than Ric Flair, but I have no problem with people saying that Shawn Michaels is the greatest of all time. I have no problem with that. But I personally think it's still Flair. Jericho, is one that a lot of people don't talk about a whole lot, though. This dude is still doing it, and he's still killing it, too. And I think he's very underrated. I really do.
Yeah, he's in that next tier. You know, Randy Orton is another guy we haven't mentioned maybe in that next tier. Obviously, Brock Lesnar and what he's done, you know, a different style, obviously. And I appreciate the call. Look, to the Ric Flair point, my mom is actually from Mississippi. Most people probably wouldn't realize that listening to me. But my mom's from Mississippi. So I used to go to Mississippi a lot when I was a kid. And my grandmother had a Ric Flair action figure. So that is the, you know, the impact of Ric Flair in those territories in that era. Me and my brother used to go. My aunt worked at a Blockbuster Video. I think it was actually something else before it became a Blockbuster Video. And we used to go get those Coliseum video home videos and watch them. We'd be in a room just at my grandmother's house in Mississippi because we had nothing else to do, watching all the old wrestling tapes. Kind of like I'm doing with my son now, except for I'm streaming them and I don't have to go to the video store. Clint in Georgia. Clint, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? Great show. I got to piggyback on what the guy just said before me, man. Ric Flair, by far. I mean, when you look at it, as he was the heel before being the heel was cool. You know what I mean? When your guys like Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Rock, you know, were the heel, and they were the big popularity thing, I really think the way was paved from Ric Flair. You know, Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen, you can't go wrong with those guys. I mean, and like you said, the longevity of his career and being able to do it for as long as he did. And also, you got to remember a lot of those guys, like Steve Austin. I remember when he was a stunning Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. Kind of a
and the ringmaster after that, right?
Yeah, which were flaky characters. The Rock, when he first came out, kind of had a flaky persona. HBK had to reinvent himself with the whole DX thing.
Well, I think, to your point, the best characters in my mind in wrestling history, with a couple of exceptions, are the heels who are actually good guys by their reception, right? They're bad mm-hmm. guys by their like persona, but by their mm-hmm. reception, they're good guys. Those are the best characters.
I agree. But and if you gave me a Mount Rushmore, I believe I'd have to go Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Andre the Giant, which I haven't heard anybody bring up, and then I'd also have to throw The Rock, just because what he's become since wrestling with the just the superstar that he's become.
The Rock is a massive megastar. There's no question he's the biggest star out of the wrestling business ever, and now he's the owner of the XFL, in part because of that stardom and what it's afforded him. Appreciate the call, and thanks to everybody participating. I mean, that topic really took off. I could go and go through my Twitter right now and get a whole bunch of different responses, but, you know, there's a list for a reason, and the guys that make every list are The Rock, Stone Cold, Hogan, Flair, The Undertaker, Michaels, Cena, Bret the Hitman Hart, Lesnar, Andre the Giant. Did I say Undertaker? I think I said Undertaker. So, and then you keep working your way down, and you get even further on the list. All right, I said I would break the tone of this show just for one topic, because I'm not going to ignore what other people are talking about simply to accomplish one goal. And I basically made it through the whole show, not talking about, you know, talking about only trivial matters and having fun, bringing us all together in these divisive, uncertain, terrible times.
Edge is a good wrestler.
Oh, Edge is a good wrestler. Also, my son wanted to shout out Edge. And that is true. Edge is a good wrestler. 855-212-4227. But Deion Sanders on Twitter last night put out a tweet that, let's just say, was not well received. Let's just say not well received. And rightfully so. Here is the tweet from Primetime, who I spoke to Deion a few months back when you were speaking to people in person and you, like, everybody would show up in the same place. And I got to tell you this. Deion has some sort of age potion, because the guy has not aged at all. I mean, he sit across from me. You could have swore he was still in his playing days. So I'll give him credit for that. And I also give Deion credit. I mean, Deion is, you know, to me, the best two defensive backs I've ever seen, cornerbacks I've ever seen, are Deion Sanders and Darrell Revis. Revis for his lockdown ability. You know, when Revis Island was a thing, there was, in fantasy, I'll use a fantasy football example. Which is that when Revis Island was a thing, you would have a number one receiver, and you would consider, oh, should I start this guy if he's going up against Darrell Revis? Should I start him? And that's how good Revis was as a cover corner. But as an all-around corner, Deion Sanders, you know, he was not only a great cover corner, he was not only a guy capable of like kickoff return, punt returns and the like, but he's also a threat to intercept the ball and take it to the house. I mean, obviously, an incredible athlete, a baseball player, everything, prime time, too legit to quit for a reason. You know, he's on the short list of the greatest players I've ever seen. So I have the utmost respect for what Deion Sanders was able to accomplish. That doesn't mean this take isn't garbage, which is, he tweets, all players opting out in all sports, please believe the game will go on without you. This is a business, and don't you ever forget that. There's no one that's bigger than the game itself. Only the refs, umps, and officials are that important that you can't play without them. Not you. Hashtag truth. Well, there's so many issues I have with that tweet. One is, the refs, umps, and officials can also be changed, just like the players can, right? Is there only a select group of refs, umps, and officials that the game can't go on without them? So that's untrue. And then, has anyone opted out because they thought they were bigger than the game? Who did that? Who said, I'm not playing this season because the game cannot go on without me? Like, where is that even coming from? I mean, I would imagine the vast majority of players who opted out did so for health and safety concerns. Especially, I think the most common thing I've seen is not even a concern for themselves, but a concern for those who may be at home, young children, you know, or babies on the way. When there's still so much uncertainty about COVID, obviously, for younger, healthy people, it seems, fortunately, that contracting coronavirus is something that, you know, you can get past. Though there have been, again, I don't want to be, you know, I don't know, just like everybody doesn't know, there seems to be some long-term ramifications in certain cases. So that's, you know, if you just want to value your own health, that's your prerogative, right? That's your decision as an individual. And if you are concerned about your, you know, an older person in your life, whether that's your mother or a grandparent or what have you, that's obviously very reasonable. And then, of course, you know, anytime there's a baby on the way or a young child at home, people are extra careful. Marquise Goodwin of the Eagles, who got traded there, I mean, he and they've had some difficulty in his family and some tragedy with younger kids, and so he's being extra cautious. How could anybody not respect that, right? And so that's the vast majority, you know, of opt-outs I've seen. I'm sure somewhere there's somebody who's like made enough money and just like, whatever, you know, I have a chance to not play, I'm not going to play, whatever. I guess that exists somewhere. But for the vast majority, we should be completely respectful of anybody's decision to do that. Because you're talking about, you know, life and safety and health, and everybody's got to make their own choices when it comes to that. But Deion Sanders spun it a whole different way. I mean, I just don't know where that even came from. I mean, I guess he's trying to say that the game is going to happen anyway and that I would play. Maybe he's, and maybe, I mean, clearly in a way he's being critical without directly coming out and saying it. Because basically to me that reads as, suck it up, man up, and play. That's what that reads as. Suck it up, man up, and play. And that's entitled to be your opinion, but it, you know, it just doesn't seem right to put that on other people when they're making an individual decision, and clearly it's about safety. It's not about ego. Again, I'll read his tweet for you. All players opting out in all sports, please believe the game will go on without you. This is a business, and don't you ever forget that. There's no one that's bigger than the game itself. Only the ref, umps, and officials are that important that you can't play without them. Not you, hashtag truth. I don't understand. I don't understand the point, I suppose, because I don't recall anybody coming out and doing that. You know, generally when we're saying the game is, you know, is bigger than you, it's when somebody talks about their impact or how, you know, they're the ones who are going to stop or halt interest in something. I haven't seen one person say that. In fact, all the high profile players are playing. I mean, who's the highest profile player that has opted out? I mean, Tom Brady is playing, right? Patrick Mahomes is playing. Lamar Jackson is playing. And in basketball, there was nearly no really high profile players who opted out. So I just don't get it. I don't get the point Deion Sanders was trying to make other than to say, I would play, and if you're not playing, you're weak, essentially. That's how it comes across to me. So not a prime take from prime time today, and he's getting roasted for it at the moment, rightfully so. I mean, that's one of the ones that you didn't have to hit send on that, dude. You didn't have to hit send. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. All right, back to the regularly scheduled program. You can weigh in on Deion if you want, but the regularly scheduled program today was to have a little fun, a little bit of a break from the world today. Like I said, we talked some NBA at the top of the show. We talked a little LeBron versus Tom Brady, which morphed into LeBron versus Jordan. And then we talked Shawn Michaels as the best wrestler of all time and so many of the other best wrestlers of all time, because that topic got a ton of reaction as well. You can weigh in on any of those at 855-212-4227. Again, 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. But let's get back into basketball as well. We'll get an update live from the bubble. It's so amazing that's a thing, right? Like, there are people who are there. I wish I was there in a way. If I didn't have a family at home, that would be something I would really love to do. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, maybe, unless they have to do it again next year. I mean, since Michelle Roberts of the Players Association has already said that's something they have to consider, given the current state of affairs, which is one of the reasons so many people are opting out at the moment. But we'll get an update live from the bubble coming up next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And right now, let's go down to the bubble in Orlando. Gary Washburn, national NBA writer for the Boston Globe. He also has a book coming out in October with Mark Spears about Spencer Haywood. Now, Gary, obviously it's a surreal time that you're in the bubble and that basketball is being played in the bubble. But I just wanted to take a moment to say that I'm thankful for the way it's gone down because of the seriousness and thoroughness with which the NBA approached this. I'm able to watch the NBA and just like sort of, you know, actually not worry about what's going on and say, hey, there's basketball going on and the basketball product's been great thus far.
Yeah, so far so good for the NBA. No positive tests in the last 3 weeks. You know, they really make sure everyone here is safe. They have a lot of precautions, a lot of things that you have to do, even for anyone, Robin, player, staff member, media member, employee, whatever you do here, you have to abide by some serious rules in terms of taking your temperature and getting tested every day to make sure you can stay here. So the NBA so far has done it right, and hopefully some of the other sports can model themselves after the NBA because right now it seems to be working.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the Celtics, obviously. You write for the Boston Globe. So Boston, really impressive performance against Toronto last night. I'm not making much of any individual game, but what I will say is, coming into this, we sort of thought Milwaukee, right? Like, everybody kept talking about Milwaukee in the East for good reason. But I always had my doubts about Milwaukee in certain situations simply because We haven't seen Giannis create his own shot in the big moments yet, as awesome as he is. And then if he's not doing it, who else on the Bucks is? Is Middleton able to step up? Because outside of Middleton, I don't really see a candidate on that roster. And Mike Budenholzer's teams, as good a coach as he is, haven't exactly had the best success in the playoffs. That goes back to the Hawks, who were really good in the regular season. They didn't have a Giannis, of course. But I didn't know which team to pick against them directly. Now you look at Toronto and how well they've played. You look at Miami when they get Jimmy Butler back. And then I think, of course, you look at Boston. How do you see that Eastern Conference race shaping up?
Rob, I think it's very competitive. I think every team kind of has a check against each other. Some teams, it's one of those things, but one team kind of has a bugaboo against another, where the Celtics this year won 3 out of 4 against Toronto, but they have had trouble with Milwaukee. Obviously Toronto beat Milwaukee last year in the playoffs. Miami has had success against Milwaukee and Toronto, but lost 2 out of 3 to Boston. So it's sort of funny when the matchups, everyone kind of has a weakness or a team that they don't play as well against. And I think all four teams have their weaknesses, but when they're playing well, all four teams are capable of making a run to the NBA Finals. I think Milwaukee still is the favorite. They have the experience from last year. They have what people might say is the best player in the league in Giannis. They have that defensive toughness. But you're right, like Giannis can kind of hiccup down the stretch. The game against Houston down here I thought was a kind of a telling game where the Rockets kind of like blitzed them and pressured them, and he made some key turnovers. And I think that other teams look at that and say, okay, that's what we're going to have to do to Giannis, just force him to make a play down the stretch and basically not let him run the floor so he can just dunk on us. I mean, that's the one thing you don't want is him getting in the open court. That's curtains. So everyone has their kind of weakness. So it just all depends on who plays well when it counts. And down here, the atmosphere is different. No fans, no home court advantage. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this works out because of those elements. I mean, these teams are just going to be playing. It's just basketball. No crazy fans, no people screaming, just basketball, the purity of the game. And that's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Who would you say is the best player on the Boston Celtics? I mean, I was just thinking about this a second ago because I'm not quite sure. You would have thought it's going to be Tatum and where he was. Obviously, Kemba Walker may be the guy on substance over the course of his career, but all of a sudden, Jaylen Brown has really emerged too, as an excellent two-way player. And that's one of the reasons Boston is a contender in the East, because you can't correctly identify that one guy, but they've got a handful of those guys.
Yeah, it depends on the night. And also, I think the plan for a lot of teams, and themselves included, is to get the kind of the same player. We are living in positionless times right now where everyone wants someone 6'8", who's multifaceted, can shoot the three, defend, run the floor. And the Celtics have 3 or 4 of those guys, right? So Brown has just really played well in the bubble. He has just really asserted himself, aggressive, hit the three ball, defended. I thought he did a good job last night against Pascal Siakam. Siakam never really got off, but it was kind of surprising because Siakam is just such a crafty player and just uses his body well. And he wasn't able to score on Brown, which was a little surprising. Tatum, is people could say he's destined for greatness. I think he can be. He's making better decisions, Robin, like with the ball, and it's not just scoring, making a better pass, not taking as many bad shots. I think that's the thing. Anybody in this league can score. There's a bunch of guys in the NBA who can put the ball in the basket. That's easy. It's, well, can you make the right play? Can you make the right pass? Can you take the shot when you need to take the shot and not just jack up shots? So I think Tatum is learning that as they go. Gordon Hayward has played well. So they have the talent to make a run, but you're right, they don't have that one best player because 3 or 4 guys could get you on a particular night.
Robin Lundberg talking to Gary Washburn, a national NBA writer for the Boston Globe. He's in the bubble currently. Also has a book coming out in October with Mark Spears about Spencer Haywood. Now, Gary, when we're talking the Western Conference, obviously the Lakers and the Clippers have been the talk, and I think some of the Lakers' struggle things have been a little bit overblown, given that they clinched the one seed. If we were in normal times, we wouldn't be talking about the end of the regular season, and they still have LeBron James. We'll see when that gets to the playoffs. The Rockets have emerged as an interesting experiment and maybe a threat. But I think the storyline heading into the playoffs is that play-in and Portland right now. Portland gets Jusuf Nurkić back, so they're starting to resemble the Western Conference Finals team from a couple years ago more than the subpar squad for most of this season. Obviously, they've got a revitalized Carmelo Anthony, and then, you don't want to see Damian Lillard across from you in a playoff series. A guy can casually hit 11-3. So I would still pick the Lakers in a series against Portland. I'm not getting carried away. But how dangerous do you see the Blazers being if they can sneak into the playoffs here?
I think they can make it interesting. I don't think they can beat the Lakers 4 out of 7 games. I think once the Lakers flex their muscles and really play well and get themselves together, right now I think they're a little bored in the bubble and they're just trying to deal with some internal things and they're still trying to integrate Waiters and J.R. Smith, and then Rondo's hurt. They've had various little injuries. So I think the Lakers will be fine, but Portland's a team that you don't really want to see. I mean, the thing is, I don't think any team wants to really sweat in the first round. You don't want to go 6 or 7. You want to take care of a team in 4, a gentleman's sweep in 5. Portland's a team that can make the Lakers, push the Lakers to maybe 6, because you have two guys in terms of Lillard and McCollum who could go off, and then you have a Nurkić who the Lakers really don't have anybody to guard. I mean, you could maybe Dwight Howard, but Nurkic's a big space eater, and he seems to be in really good shape. I saw him a couple times so far. He is really playing well. You got guys like Carmelo Anthony's obviously his resurgence. Gary Trent Jr. is a kid who, has really developed into a solid complement to those guys. So they got talent. I mean, I don't think they're going to be the Lakers 4 out of 7. Let's not get crazy. But they could make it 6. And as a team, number one, number two seed, you don't want to go 6 or 7 in the first round. You want to be able to take care of business, get some rest, and get on to the next round. So I think they can make things fun, and I think that they want to play the Lakers. They want to be in that spotlight. I think there's a lot of guys in that team, Lillard, McCollum, Anthony, who want to get the respect they don't feel they deserve because, Portland's a team that people don't think can make it very far. And then when they went to the Western Conference Finals last year, they got squashed by the Warriors. So I think they feel like they have a lot to prove, so which makes it interesting, especially down here in the bubble.
One more for you real quick, Gary, and that's the story of the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker playing really well. The Suns, on a roll, and they've made themselves relevant to the point where Draymond Green's getting on TV saying Booker needs to get out of there, and they've become a topic of conversation. What do you make of what's going on with Booker in Phoenix?
I think the Phoenix has a bright future. No pun intended with the Suns, but
they're hot right now, right?
Yeah, they're hot. They're hot. They're blazing. I think that this was, I don't think anyone expected Phoenix to do what they did, but this has been a great experience. I think people asked when they laid out the whole schedule, why the heck is Phoenix even here? They should just be at home. But I think Monty Williams took his guys and said, listen, let's learn together. Let's become closer. Let's get ourselves together and let's just play hard. And I think that they have a great future. Booker, is he a top 5 player in the league eventually? Perhaps. I think defensively he needs to get better, more consistent with the 3. But he's a very good player. DeAndre Ayton's a guy no one talks about because, there's been better players in the draft, right, who have flourished. And Ayton's kind of gotten left, in the, he's okay, but he's not Luka, he's not Trae Young, he's not some of those premier guys that you see on commercials. But I think Ayton's a very good player. Mikal Bridges is a good player. Kelly Oubre, who's hurt, good player. So they have some good young pieces in order to move forward in the West. And, You know, Robin, you know how it is. In the West, you just got to wait till some teams get old. I mean, I think the Phoenix has got to wait for the Lakers and the Clippers, somebody to age to kick in for them to emerge as contenders in the West, because the West is so competitive. So it's not really fair. You know, the Kings are the same way. You sort of got to wait for some of these established teams to slip a little bit. But I think for the Suns to make this run and to make things interesting, I think it's a good story. Does Booker need to get out of Phoenix in order to flourish? I don't think so, because I think finally the team has a good coach in Monty Williams. They have good. They seem to have a good base. James Jones is general manager. You know, there's always been some issues with the owner, Robert Sarver, and some complaints and some situations where he gets too involved. But it sounds like he's stepping back and letting Jones handle the team and Williams coach the team.
Gary, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, he knows it's a girl's name. Here's Robin Lundberg.
Coach WN tweets in, I don't believe that's what Deion Sanders was saying at all. To me, his message was the games will go on because there's always someone to take the open roster spot. Yeah, well, that's what he said directly. My point is, I don't understand. I don't get the point of that. When Deion tweeted, all players opting out in all sports, please believe the game will go on without you. This is a business, and don't you ever forget that. There's no one that's bigger than the game itself, et cetera, et cetera. That's what he was saying directly, but why? Who has said that the game will not go on without them? Who said, I am opting out because it will halt the process of the game? Or I am all opting out to fold the league? Nobody said anything like that. People were opting out for their own safety concerns or safety concerns of those in their family. So for him to send that message, it's basically almost like a roundabout way of criticizing them. Which I don't understand what you're criticizing them for unless you're saying, you know, I would play, why don't you play? Something like that. And that's an individual decision. But of course the leagues are going to go on. We're talking about it. And most of the high-profile players are playing. In fact, I don't think there's been a major, major high-profile player who's chosen to opt out. Jax Wild tweets in, Brett was a great in-ring performer. He just lacked the charisma and mic skills that some of these guys like Flair, HBK, Austin, and Rock had. That's going back to the best wrestler of all time conversation. Eric Druz 3 says The Undertaker is by far the best of all time. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, you're up next here with Robin Lundberg on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Mitch?
Good morning, Robin. Good show.
Thank you.
Hey, LeBron and the Clippers. LeBron, I take him second to Will Chamberlain. He's been to the finals. I mean, he's lost quite a few. He's brought teams to the finals with less talent and played multiple positions. I think he should finish his career as a center, and he'd still be a good center also. And with you got like the Clippers, they're doing this, playing games close, winning, shooting well, and they're doing it without Montrezl Harrell, 6 feet, multiple dual guy. He's kind of like the modern version of Draymond Green, which you say he's an awesome player. He should be the sixth man, and he would start for many teams himself, I believe. I think it's the year for the Clippers. What do you think, Robin? And thanks for taking
the call. The Clippers are really good. They're really tough to deal with. Kevin Durant picked the Clippers because he said wing players are the most important thing in the NBA, and he's not exactly wrong with that pick. Wing players are, of the utmost importance. I think it's both the LA teams and the Rockets are the dark horse wild card in the Western Conference. But I do think it'll come down to the Clippers and the Lakers. I don't want to completely dismiss the Nuggets either, the way Porter Jr. is playing. But I think it's those three teams that I mentioned before, and we shall see as it gets closer. Can LeBron overcome that wing depth that the Clippers have? Anthony Davis is going to have a huge series for the Lakers to beat the Clippers, but there's a reason those two teams have been mentioned all year when you're talking about the best, not only in the Western Conference, but the best in the league. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in before the show ends. But before the show is over, I also must get to all the topics I have not as of yet in another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
All right, Anthony, what do we got up first?
All right, well, you just mentioned the Nuggets, and following Wednesday's loss to Denver, Spurs head coach Greg Popovich said this about Nuggets center Nikola Jokic.
Porter's, you know, he's a fine young talent, and you know, Jokic, he's like a reincarnation of Larry Bird. He does everything. He's amazing.
Pop went on to compare Jokic to Moses Malone. So, would you do you agree with the comparisons to Larry Bird and Moses Malone?
Maybe some sort of like combination of the two. I don't think either of them is very accurate, to be honest. The thing that reminds me the most of Larry Bird with Jokic is his passing. Larry Bird was an excellent passer, which isn't something that's brought up quite as much. And Jokic is, of course, an excellent passer, especially for a big man. It's probably his number one skill. He's not the shooter that Bird was, or even close to the shooter that Bird was. He can shoot the ball a little bit, but he's not a distant shooter. So I don't really get the Bird comparison. And then the Malone comparison is like a big body gobbling up rebounds. Remember Malone famously faux with the Sixers talking about sweeping teams, but Malone would even miss shots on purpose to rebound his own shot to pad his numbers. Jokic is a unique player in a sense, and he's hard fully get a grip on. He doesn't strike fear in me as the guy who's going to rip your heart out at the end of a game, but he has a huge impact on the entire game. And as much respect as I have for Greg Popovich, I honestly don't love either of those two comparisons unless you're like sort of squashing them together and getting some sort of mixture of them. Then maybe it's a bit more accurate. But the first thing I see when I see Jokic is not Larry Bird, nor is it Moses Malone. What's next?
Another one.
During the weekly Big Ten coaches conference call, John Harbaugh interrupted Ryan Day mid-answer and accused him of violating rules by having on-field instructions and drills take place already while it is not yet permitted in the NCAA. Do you have a problem with Michigan's coach calling out Day and the Buckeyes for cheating on a conference call?
I don't have a problem with either. Look, if he thinks he broke it and he wants to call him out and he wants to, you know, get in his head maybe that way too. Maybe it's not even just by the letter of the law. It's like, hey, here I am saying this, you know, get ready to play us. We know you've been up to this. And then at the same time, in these situations, it's hard. We're all dealing with unprecedented circumstances. These teams are as well. They're trying to remain competitive. They have to worry about their structure. Obviously, they have to worry about whether the season's even going to happen. So the coach is still the coach. So I can't, you know, I think in everybody's mind, we should be approaching this as responsibly as we can. So I hope that's coming first. But then the next thing is their job, and they're, you know, trying to put the best product out on the field as they possibly can. So I wouldn't have that much of an issue if he was dancing around the rules either. To me, that's a function of Harbaugh's personality. He's going to say some stuff. He's going to say some stuff that makes sense. He's going to say some stuff that doesn't make sense. Overall, I think it's pretty much a non-story, and it's really just a story because of one guy's name and the name of the two universities that are involved when it comes to football there. What's up next?
Another one.
Raiders QB Derek Carr was asked by reporters on Tuesday whether he thought about opting out of the season. Carr responded by saying, "Did I think about opting out? I did not. I have a lot to prove to myself. I have a lot to prove to my organization. I'm being completely honest with you. I'm tired of being disrespected. So there was no question I was going to play this year." Is Derek Carr disrespected, Robin?
I could see why he might say that. I could see that because he's been, you know, he came in. He's one of those guys that came in and was talked about really highly and since then has not been. I don't really think he's disrespected because I don't think he's done anything to prove that he's that good. You know, like, all right, you know, the last three, I mean, that 12-3 year was probably when he was riding the highest, right? They were 12-3, 64% completion percentage that year, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. A lot of people were thinking maybe this guy's one of the QBs that's up next. But since then, the Raiders have gone 6-9, 4-12, and 7-9. Carr has completed a good percentage of his passes, has a decent touchdown to interception ratio, but not enough touchdowns on the board, not enough deep strike ability, a lot of checkdowns from the, you know, the Raiders and that team. So there's just nothing about Carr that has made you think he's more than, you know, a competent quarterback. I mean, he's playing more like a really good backup than he is a star-level starter. So when that happens, you're going to get, you know, criticized a little bit more. You're going to get put into a category maybe where sometimes people talk a little bit harsher than they should. Like if you're capable of starting in the NFL, you're really, really good. And even if you're, you know, if ideally you're a high level backup, that still makes you really, really good. Guys have made a career that way. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick has made a career of being a starter slash backup slash starter slash backup, right? But Carr hasn't done enough to distinguish himself as a true top level QB. So therefore, you know, that's how he gets talked about. So I don't really think it's disrespect. I think he's taking it a little too personally. What's up next?
Another one.
All right, and finally, the very talented Patty Jenkins said that Wonder Woman 3 will probably be the last movie that she directs in the series. The first film, of course, was well-received critically and was one of the top-grossing movies of 2017. And we're hoping to see Wonder Woman 1984 to hit theaters finally in October after being delayed due to the pandemic. We also learned this week that the Candyman reboot director, Nia DaCosta, will direct Captain Marvel 2. So I ask you, Mr. Lumberg, who's your favorite female director, or you can give me what's your favorite female directed movie?
I'm going to go with Penny Marshall, based on two movies, really. The fact that she made both A League of Their Own, which is in the conversation for best sports movies. I think they might be remaking it or doing something with it right now. And obviously has spawned some iconic things from it, like there's no crying in baseball. Everybody knows that line. And then Big, which also has, you know, an iconic scene with the piano at the toy store and everything like that. So I think when you put those two together, there are other good candidates. Clueless was a movie that
Amy
was...
That's Amy Heckerling. Clueless.
That stood the test of time, right?
She has a lot to credit. Amy, Clueless, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Look Who's Talking.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. In recent years, there's been some great films made. But I'll go with the late Penny Marshall for those two movies together. It's hard to beat that combination of A League of Their Own and Big when you're talking about staying power and lasting impact on the culture. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm back next Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, as I always am. Ken Carmen up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.